Okay, everybody, I'd like to invite you all to take your seats for this special lunch keynote presentation. And doing this special keynote presentation is someone who has done a number of keynotes for us over the years, always well known for giving some pretty interesting ideas out there for you to take with you, maybe think about later, that whole bit. All right, enough embarrassing, Ryan. Up next is Ryan Ervin from Keystone Financial.
Yeah. All right, thank you. I'm going to apologize in advance for my speech generally. No, just for the fact that I've got about, thank you. That's my office right there, right? So, no, I have about an hour worth of material to cram into about 30 minutes here. So I also woke up with a sore throat. So if I sound like a prepubescent 16-year-old, that's because I am. No, I'm kidding. That's because that'll be my excuse today. But I got a lot of material to go through here, so let's get to it. Okay, briefly, for those of you that are unaware, what is Keystone? We are an independent financial research firm. We've been around for 25 years. We do the work for you. We do the research, looking at every stock in Canada and over 10,000 now in the U.S. on an annual basis. We screen for fundamental growth, good balance sheets, and help you build a simple 15 to 25 stock portfolio consisting of quality dividend and dividend growth stocks. We also specialize in the area of small cap growth companies. So you use a discount brokerage, save on fees, and subscribe to our research, and we give you simple buy, sell, hold advice on those stocks. Now, we just presented about a three-hour webinar on how to find the next 10X stock. I'm going to give you a small sampling today of that three-hour webinar in about 30 minutes, so we'll go through here. But the first thing I'm going to talk about is why we look and search for 10X stocks. Well, it should be pretty self-explanatory, but I'm going to go through that. I'm going to look at how to find the next 10X stock. That's very important. And why we invest in small cap stocks, why the outperformance is there that we see. And then I'm going to give you 5 to 6 profitable small caps to buy today. Now, but why take our advice at all? Well, 2 years ago in a room like this, we recommended, that was the Toronto Money Show, we recommended Hammond Power. And these are 5 other companies that we recommended there. Hammond Power over that period was the best performing stock on the entire Toronto Stock Exchange. It is now up 750% plus over the past 2 years. You could see there, Dynacor up 110%. I'll talk about them later today. Viamed 50%. BioSynth about 47%. The laggard there is Calian. We still like the company long term. So at this event last year, we recommended Cypher. It traded at 380 there, 389. Or sorry, at this event it was about 419. But we recommended it about a month earlier to clients in the $3.89 range. It's performed tremendous over that period. Vital Hub was also recommended. It's done tremendously well over that period. At the event, we actually interviewed, I remember, Vital Hub. We've been interviewing this management team for, this was about the 6th, 7th time, and I remember they were kind of tongue-in-cheek, exasperated with us, saying, are you going to bloody recommend us at some point? It's not uncommon for us to literally follow a company for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. We'd been following that business for 4 years at that point. Vital Hub had hit an inflection point this time last year. It could be bought. It had a net cash balance sheet, could be bought for under 10 times free cash flow, had 15% organic growth in the business, and we recommended it. We saw a significant upside at that point. It's jumped about 166%. So, and in terms of why you should heed our advice on how to find the next 10X stock, well, we think proof is in the results. These are 5 actual recommendations for our clients that have produced not only 10X, but in the case of Hammond Power, 200X since our original investment at about 60 cents. And it continues to perform well today. But investing in companies like these will allow you to make a lot of mistakes and still come out with significant profits in the end. Now, these 5 stocks dovetail well into my first segment. It's a very simple concept. It's something that you don't hear from most financial advisors, but investing in just 2 to 3 truly great stocks in your lifetime can be game-changing in your portfolio. But don't just take my word for it. This comes from Warren Buffett. In fact, over the past year, perhaps he's the greatest investor of all time, we would say. But he said in his 58 years at Berkshire Management, his satisfactory, and we know his results are far more than satisfactory, have been the product of about a dozen truly good decisions. That would be one every 5 years. So let that sink in. So he's talking about 12 stocks or investments in his almost 100 years on this earth have made him one of the richest humans on the planet. So to give you an idea of how impactful just one truly great capital compounding stock can have on a portfolio, I put an example together here. $500,000 invested in Boyd, $500,000 portfolio. So we had 20 stocks here, about $25,000 in each. Today's value on our original recommendation, $2.57 million. Hammond Power, $4.87 million. Now, if it was a million-dollar portfolio, so then you'd have $50,000 in each stock. Again, 20 stocks, Hammond or Boyd, 5.14. Hammond Power, now this was done a few weeks ago, it's above $10 million now, just in that one stock. So what that allows you to do is literally all 19 other stocks could have gone to zero in your portfolio and you'd still be doing well. Now, we don't want 19 other stocks to go to zero. We're looking for companies that actually create cash flow and earnings. So hopefully you're looking for gains in the other part of the portfolio as well. All right, I think point made there. Let's look at where we find the next 10X stocks. Well, I'm going to give today some real examples of stocks that have gained greater than 10X from our buy recommendations. And then we're going to look at the data. I like to look at the data. So let's first look at those five stocks that produce beyond 10X. Again, we just saw this here. Why I like to put it up there? Well, it makes us look smart, so we need that, particularly Aaron back there. He really needs that from our office. I'm sorry. But generally, what can we say about these stocks? Well, I'm going to go through the basic commonalities in the businesses like this. What we like to do is learn from our past successes and employ the same methodologies going forward. So let's look at some commonalities in these businesses. Let's look at the size or market cap of these businesses when we originally recommended them. As you can see here, even a decade or so back, they were definitely considered small cap companies. Micro cap is what we would say. Below, not one had a market cap of over 55 million. So it's a fruitful area for finding great 10X stocks. Each company, So the commonality number one we'd say is each company started small before their share prices took off. Now let's look at the industry, see if we can find any commonalities here. Well, as we can see, we have electrical parts and equipment, automotive repair services, paint protection, engineering, geothermal heating and cooling, and software. Now if you think auto repair services and auto paint protection are in the same industry, you are stretching the truth. The commonality here, the takeaway that you should have is there's really no commonality in terms of industries. In fact, the wide breadth of the industries appears to suggest that there's far more important general factors at play when you're looking to find a 10X stock. Let's take a look at the basic financial picture here, the commonalities. It's now revenues, we're gonna start there. Did the companies have revenues when they started their ascent? Well, yes, they did. So ding, 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 we have five winners in this case. Using a more stringent criteria, if we look at net income, were the businesses producing net income at the time they were recommended? Well, the question there, the answer there is yes, five real winners as well. Now, because net income is a more stringent criteria and specific criteria, financially speaking, and all of these companies match that, we are going to take profitability as a more statistically impactful commonality between these businesses. So our commonality number two is profitability. Now, let's examine whether these businesses or stocks were well known to investors or covered really at all when we recommended them. In terms of coverage, we can see here, not really at all. Hammond Power, Expel, Water Furnace had zero official coverage on the stocks when we recommended it. In fact, if you look over a decade, it took over a decade for Hammond Power to have any real coverage. Expel really finally got a coverage when it went to the NASDAQ in the U.S. Boyd had previous coverage, but that had been abandoned. And Jana actually had a singular non-independent analyst when we recommended it. Generally, unless you were a Keystone client, you really didn't have access to these portfolio-changing stocks. So the whole point there is the commonality number three in each of these stocks is they were significantly underfollowed or unknown at the time of their recommendations. Now, there's many other factors, including growth path, good management, limited share dilution. We can go on and on. But we can look at them in more detail, and we did in that three-hour webinar. I can't do that today. But I'm going to summarize the three basic commonalities prior to Ascent, prior to going higher. All were small, all were profitable, and all were unknown. So those are the commonalities we look for. Now, let's see if the data backs up the commonalities in these 5-10X stocks. Well, this is a recent study. It's a great study by Jenga Partners. Recently, it was between 2012 and 2022, so 10-year period. And does that data back up the commonalities we saw in those individual stocks? Well, what the data found was that 87% of all global equities that went up 1,000% or 10X or more over the past 10 years started as micro-cap stocks. And importantly, 82% of those were profitable at the start of their ascent. 91% had some history of profitability. So again, the data is telling us the key is profitable, unknown, and growing. And this is why we look for small, profitable, unknown, and growing. Why we look for and focus on profitable small cap stocks. You want some further research? Well, Henrik Bessemeyer, if I could say his name, he did a study. It's do stocks outperform treasury bills is basically the impetus behind this. 26,000 stocks from 1926 to 2015. The answer, incidentally, was yes. But for our study or for our purposes here today, the most significant variable that he found was net income growth. And again, this gives us further evidence to support our strict adherence to profitable stocks. Now, there's other studies out there, Eugene Fama, Ken French, the outperformance of small caps since 1927, about 285 basis points. Where did that come from? I want some bonus points in every stock I buy, yeah. Okay, so, and if, you know, if you like charts, here you can see here, this is $10,000 invested in small caps in 1926 to 2004. Large caps would have given you about 10 million. Small caps would have given you a billion. I'm not a mathematician, but I'll take the billion over the 10 million. So hopefully that point is made there. You've seen some real world examples now of the case for profitable small caps. Undeniable data on profitable small caps and their potential to produce 10x returns or outperform long term. Let's end this section with another quote from Warren Buffett, a man who pines for the day when he could buy quality small caps. He has told me that. He said, it's a huge structural advantage not to have a lot of money. He said, I think I could make you 50% on 1 million. No, I know I could. I guarantee that. So in this context, it is unfortunate for his returns that Warren now has too much money. I don't know if anybody's ever said that it's unfortunate to have too much money, but I just did. Plus, unless though you have several billion in loose change kicking around, you can take advantage of profitable small cap companies and try to find the next 10X stock. Trust me, your ability to invest in these stocks is one of the only advantages you have over Buffett, so you should use it. Now that I've given you the data on when where we should be looking to find the next 10X stocks, let's look at the why small caps outperform. Well, there is no silver bullet here, but here are the basic, some of the basic or top reasons why. Higher growth rates. Due to their size, small caps alone have a higher potential for growth. It's at a basic level, it's easier to say double 1 million in earnings to 2 million than to go from 1 billion to 2 billion. It's kind of just the law of large numbers. Okay. Further on the outperformance, well, there's a lack of coverage in this sector. The lack of coverage creates the chance to find a mispriced stock. In many cases, when we cover a company or recommend to clients, we are initially the only official coverage. The big banks aren't covering them, certainly prior to most traditional big banks covering them. Compare this to many large cap stocks, where you have, you know, hundreds, in some cases, thousands of analysts following their every mood, you can immediately see why the potential to find an undervalued and undiscovered gem is far more likely in the small cap area. Also, big players, some funds are restricted from buying at this level. like Buffett said in his quote, you have the advantage to buy before institutions. So let's move on. More reasons for the outperformance here. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The financial industry is most often acting in their own interest, not yours as an individual client. Their biggest clients are big companies, and this is the primary reason small caps are generally less covered than mid to large cap companies. But it goes deeper. The banks, the boutique brokerages that raise the capital for these companies see more money in funding large cap companies. It's easier to make a buck raising $500 million to a billion than $5 million to $10 million. This equals less coverage. Less coverage equals the opportunity to find a mispriced security or stock. Now, often profitable small caps receive the least coverage. This is, creates a better opportunity to find those 10X stocks. And the reason is simple. It's really just the big banks being the big banks. I encourage you to follow the money here. The more profitable a small cap is, the less likely it is to need capital. If it does not need to raise money, the big banks often, and even the shrinking coverage in the boutique brokerages, will not cover them until they reach a significant size or are too hard to ignore. Again, these are great opportunities, and they continue today. All right, let's look at the one of the themes that we've been positioned to take advantage over the past year has been the relative valuation gap between small and large caps. This is up to the last week of September, up into the start of September, from Yardini research chart showing the relative performance, or PE going forward, of valuations for U.S. mega cap, large cap, and small to mid caps. Kind of hard to see there probably, but let's take a quick look back to fall. We found this a great time to buy some profitable small cap and micro cap companies. Let's look at the PEs at that point. So you look at the forward PE on the S&P 500 large cap, 17.4. You could buy small caps on average at 11.5. That was a great time to buy. Now, I often see analysts take a retrospective look at great buying opportunities in the past, which is frankly easy. The key is, what did you do at that time? Our first two recommendations at this point were Cypher and Vital Hub, two companies that we continue to like today. We think they're fair value in their current range, but we continue to like those businesses. Now, the valuation gap, where are we today? Well, it's narrowed, as we can see, but it is still existing, that valuation gap between small and large cap companies. Now, let's put this into some context, perspective here. For the better part of the past 25 years, or this century essentially, small caps, due to their higher growth profile, have traded with a premium PE multiple to their large cap brethren. So here is the opportunity that we see. There continues to be an inversion. If we see this inversion of this ratio, it does create that opportunity. If this was to reverse in favor of small caps, as it held for the first part of this century, about 20 years, there is a significant upside still in small cap companies. There are some other factors at play here. We see small caps still as under-owned. They represent just 5% of the U.S. stock market versus the long-term average of near 8%. The low percentage has occurred only twice before. That was March 2020 and back into the 1930s. Lower interest rates, typically small caps perform better in a lower interest rate environment. For us, we like cash-rich, great balance sheet businesses, so it doesn't necessarily translate into that. But if you see general multiple increases in the sector, it's good for small caps, generally speaking. There is also reshoring. Small cap company fundamentals may be poised to benefit from ongoing trend of bringing manufacturing operations back to the U.S. This shift is driven by geopolitical risk, dwindling cost advantages, fiscal stimulus programs like the U.S. CHIPS Act and Inflation Act. Hammond Power, for example, has been a benefactor of this, also just benefiting from a poor supply chain. Okay, let's get into those opportunities that we're going to look at today. Okay, I got to go really fast here. This is some research that we're putting forward. This is a company we really like. Been able to buy it over the past year around the $10 range. It's gone up about 70%, as we can see there. But this is a story that we like because of their penetration into the U.S. market. I'm not going to talk about what VersaBank does. They provide point-of-sale loans. I don't have time to get into that right now, but this is our 10x thesis on the business from our original recommendation of $7. They operate in the Canadian market only, originally, highly successful, fastest growing bank over the past 2 years on an EPS basis, undervalued based on their Canadian assets alone, but they've now entered the U.S. point-of-sale market. That is a 10 times larger market than the Canadian market. So potential to grow there. Now, they have to execute on that, and we see a drag on earnings over the first 6 months to year in this business as they enter that market, but we are not buying for what it does today. We think they'll be buying opportunities over the course of this year, and we think this is a good business to buy. Again, their solution is new. It's a new mousetrap in the U.S. market, and they have high operating leverage. They actually operate out of a hangar in Winnipeg, and they can leverage that business all across the U.S. Valuations, it's about 10 times earnings, 1.1 times book. So you look at Affirm, another PO point of sale company in the U.S., has a price to book of 3.5, so about three times higher than VersaBank. Next company we're going to talk about, boring business. We keep recommending this company. It's Dynacor. They are a miller, not a miner. That's why we like them. Generally speaking, the gold industry is a terrible place to invest. But this company, why do we like it? Let's look at it. The artisanal, 12 consecutive years of profitability, 25% of its market cap in cash. It's a dividend grower over the past 5 years. 23% compound annual growth rate. We like that. Reasonable valuations, and if you look at the growth long-term, here's over the past 5 years, tremendous growth there. In the last quarter, growth again. Growth in terms of guidance going forward for this business. Again, this guidance is based on gold around the 2,000 range. We're above 2,600, so we expect this company to beat the guidance for this year. Our thesis here, it's almost $50 million in cash in the bank. They can self-fund their operations and their growth out of cash flow. The current mill can be expanded. The permitting is in place there. But the real growth can come from four mills they plan over the next 3 to 5 years. That would be one in Peru North, one in West Africa, and one in another Latin American country. So this would be the thesis here. The current mill is doing above $250 million U.S., so you could get to $1 billion in revenues. This is a very blue sky prediction there. But if they execute, that is the potential there. And again, great dividend growth stock. When we originally recommended the company, we consulted with management to start paying a dividend. They're paying it out of cash flow. We like that. They've increased it. Our effective yield from the $1.50 to $2 range is above 8% now. So $6.50 to $7 is our target. Exco. Now, this isn't, you know, a 10X story, but it's an asymmetric return potential that we see from this business. They make large molds. They work for companies like Tesla. They also have about seven additive 3D printers, and they've just bought those. All of this CapEx that they've been doing over the last 3 to 5 years ends as at the end of this month, essentially. It is a margin story going forward. We've seen margins uptick in the last – I got 1 minute, so I'm really going to rip here. We've seen a margin story. And look, you see earnings up to 21 cents from 16. Great to see. Our investment thesis right now, you can buy this business. Their target for 2026, so their 2024 ends at the end of this month. So you can buy them at about 5.2 times. They pay about 5.3% dividend yield. We like that. And it's downside in a recession is about 6 to 650. Upside, we see $12 to $15. So that asymmetric return potential that we like in a business like that. Covalon just came into coverage under $2 range. We'd buy it under $3. We like this business. Wound care, can't get into it too much. They're presenting here today, I believe, or tomorrow. Tomorrow, probably? Yes. Yes, I encourage you to watch their presentation. Earnings, the last two quarters, tremendous jump in earnings. We like that from a negative to a positive in terms of 6 cents. And they now have about $16 million in cash in the bank and no debt. So we love that. Here's a turnaround story. We've talked to the CEO a number of times, like Zoom call. We get to sit down with him tomorrow. That'll be great to see. He's bringing a level of confidence that wasn't there in this business in the past. And we like the valuations. Again, fair value for us right now is about $360. It's close to that. We'd buy it under $3. It's low liquidity, so I think you can probably get it at that range at some time over the next year. Eng House, this is just all about the cash in the bank and recycling that cash back into growth. So software as a service company, they've pivoted to a SaaS business. They also offer on-prem or call centers is one of their main area of their business. But they're back to growing. That's what we like. Every $100 million that they deploy, they have $250 million in the bank. They generate free cash flow of around $120 million on an annual basis. So we estimate for every $100 million they put out in terms of acquisitions, about 17% accretive to EPS. That's why we buy it. You saw the last quarter. The last company I'm going to talk about, I got about minus 10 seconds here right now, is Biorem. So 86% growth, tremendous growth in EPS. We think their next quarter is going to be quite strong. There's our investment thesis. If anybody's got any questions, and we own positions in all these, I think I'm supposed to say that with each of them, but I don't know if I got that. But Keystone and our family members own these because we really like the business. So has anybody got any questions if we have time? I'm not sure if we do. We got through it. No questions? You can come up and ask me if you got any after. Right here. Can you repeat that? Sorry. The milling company. They have us. The question was about Dynacore and if they're doing it on a contract basis. They have thousands of small-scale miners that bring them. So artisanal miners, they bring them the ore, they crush it, and they get a split between what they pay them and what they sell it on the market for, essentially. So that's why the company's been profitable for 12 to 13 years, whereas you see with the fluctuation of gold, one quarter you're profitable, one quarter you're not. They have been profitable for the long term, building up cash. We've owned them since $1.50 to $2. They traded 8x earnings still right now. You take the cash out, it's about 6.5x. So good, solid business. And we own them. Right here. Oh, yeah, the webinar. You could go to keystocks.com. There's like an on-demand version of that. And it basically goes through how to find a 10X stock. We have that area of our business. We also cover every dividend stock in Canada. We cover large caps in the U.S. as well. But we have 25 years ago, we started in small caps. So we thought we'd put together a webinar on how we have identified those and what you look for in terms of identifying potential 10X stocks. www.keystocks.com. That's where you'd go to find that. Okay. I think we're good. I think I got to do some interviews now. Have a good day.